Radio Prague News.
A tough anti-smoking ban starts, ministers clash over immigration quotas, and Petra Kvitova bows out of the French Open. A Czech anti-smoking law took effect from midnight on Tuesday, with the measures banning smoking in bars and restaurants and public places such as theatres and cinemas. Fines of up to 5,000 crowns on individuals breaking the law take effect immediately, but businesses will be given a 90-day period to adapt. Later, they could face fines of up to 2 million crowns and a 2-year ban on doing business. The Czech Republic becomes the 23rd European company with wide-ranging smoking bans. Wednesday is World Anti-Tobacco Day. The Czech Justice and Interior Ministers clash following comments by Minister of Interior Milan Chovanec to the daily newspaper Pravo. Justice Minister Robert Pelikan charged Chovanec with drawing on still-secret government information when he told the paper that the Czech Republic would take no new immigrants as part of an EU share-out ahead of lower house elections scheduled for October. Chovanec told the paper that the share-out was badly conceived and did not take into account security risks. The Czech Republic should maintain its negative stance even if threatened by EU fines, Chovanec added. Petra Kvitova's Grand Slam comeback at the French Open came to an end on Wednesday. The Czech, who was playing in her first tournament following a hand injury following a knife attack at her Czech flat last year, lost in straight sets to US doubles specialist Bettany Matek-Sands. The score was 6-7, 6-7. Kvitova decided late to enter the French Open. The 2-times Wimbledon winner says her main target was to take part in the London tournament again this year. Azbieta Lederova, one of the first signatories of the Charter 77 petition for the recognition of human rights in Czechoslovakia, has died at the age of 85 in Augsburg, Germany. Lederova, a translator by professional who was born in Poland, was also one of the founders of VONS, one of the foremost organisations from the late 1970s to stand up for the rights of those persecuted and harassed by the secret police and other state authorities. Police persecution later forced Lederova and her Czech dissident husband Jiri to eventually quit the country for Germany. The number of deaths in the Czech Republic dropped by almost 3,500 in 2016 to total almost 108,000, according to the Czech Statistical Office. Most deaths occurred in December and least in September. The Moravia-Silesia region topped the death toll figures, though it doesn't have the biggest population. Average life expectancy for men last year climbed to 78 years and for women to an average 82.7 years. The longest lifespans are usually in Prague and the lowest ones in the Usti region. And finally, a look at the weather. The weather on Thursday should be cloudy with some sunny intervals, especially in the centre and north of the country. Top daytime temperatures will range between 23 and 26 degrees Celsius. I'm Chris Johnston and that was the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, the European Parliament's Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice and Home Affairs debates the potential erosion of press freedom in the Czech Republic. And D-Day for smokers, a wide-ranging ban on smoking enters into force on World Anti-Tobacco Day. Later on, Prague and Graham Greene have served as inspiration for a new comic book thriller. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. The European Commission and European Parliament are examining complaints put forth by Czech MEPs and free press advocates that ANO leader Andrej Babiš's influence over certain media outlets poses a threat to Czech democracy. Also under the microscope are recent comments made, supposedly in jest, by President Miloš Zeman to Vladimir Putin about the need to liquidate journalists. Dominik Yun reports.
The issue of the potential erosion of Czech press freedom is set to be debated by the European Parliament on Thursday. But on Tuesday, the matter was brought before the EP's Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice and Home Affairs Testimony was heard from a number of press freedom advocates, including Adam Černý, head of the Czech Syndicate of Journalists. Additionally, Julie Majterák, head of the Brussels office of NGO Reporters Without Borders, criticized offhand comments made during a recent trip to China by President Zeman to Russian leader Vladimir Putin, calling for the liquidation of journalists. The perceived threat posed by Babiš, recently engulfed in a scandal involving apparent abuse of his now former media holdings, and also President Zeman, led Czech MEPs from the top 09 and Christian Democrats to press the matter via the European People's Party faction to be brought to the attention of the EU. European People's Party MEP Manfred Weber of Germany, who is a member of the Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice and Home Affairs, agreed that there is a need to address potential threats to Czech press freedom.
The Czech media landscape is very liberal and open today. There are many independent journalists, and the Czech Republic ranks among the top countries in terms of press freedom. Despite this, some questions remain unanswered. For example, the news that Andrej Babiš, in media owned by him, is exercising an influence over news and journalistic output. These questions are being discussed in Prague, and they need also to be debated in the European context, because a free media is one of the fundamental pillars of our continent.
The European Parliament Committee hearing also heard from a number of MEPs, including Czech ones. For example, MEP Jaromír Štětina warned that the current threat to the Czech press landscape could serve as a first step to the threatening of Czech democracy itself. ANO leader Andrej Babiš, who was recently forced to rid himself of his media holdings via new anti-conflict of interest legislation, at least on paper, has denied exerting influence over Mafra publishing house publications such as Mladá fronta Dnes, which are now owned by the Babiš-founded Agrifert agricultural conglomerate. ANO party MPs did not take part in the committee hearing. Meanwhile, the European Commission also took up the matter, but Giuseppe Abamonte, who heads the Commission's Media and Data Directorate, told the committee that it was a matter for the Czech Republic to address and that the Commission was powerless to intervene. Christian Democrat MEP Tomáš Dechovský criticized his colleagues for bringing the matter to the EU, saying it was best addressed on a national level, but he also had harsh words for the Czech president.
We are very ashamed of President Miloš Zeman in the Czech Republic because many of his statements are made while in a state that can hardly be described as sober. Unfortunately, we will have to keep being ashamed of him so long as he is president, but don't take his words as being a real attack on media freedom.
Dominic Yoon with that report. Moving on now, on Tuesday night, smokers in pubs and restaurants around the Czech Republic enjoyed their very last cigarette. On May 31st, observed around the world as Anti-Tobacco Day, a tough anti-smoking legislation which took years to push through finally came into effect, banning smoking in bars and restaurants, as well as public places such as theatres and cinemas. So, what do Czech pub owners think of the new legislation? Ruth Franková has the story.
As of Wednesday, the Czech Republic joined 22 other countries in Europe which have a wide-ranging ban on smoking. Individuals who break the law can be punished by fines of up to 5,000 crowns, while businesses will be given a 90-day period to adapt. Later, they could face fines of up to 2 million crowns and a two-year-long ban on doing business. On Tuesday night, a small pub bordering Prague's district of Nusle, mostly frequented by beer drinkers, was filled with thick cigarette smoke. The owner complained that the new legislation would definitely turn away many of her customers and expressed fears she may be forced to close down her business.
We're a pub and most of our customers want to have a cigarette with their beer. There are only about 5% of non-smokers. Many people have already told me that they will stop coming. At the moment, they can at least sit in the garden because it's warm outside. I think I'll lose about 50% of my income, which is really liquidating for me.
These concerns are shared by many other small pub owners around the country whose customers mainly include beer drinkers and smokers. For the legendary Prague pub Upinkasu, which is largely frequented by tourists, the anti-smoking ban is unlikely to bring any significant change. The pub's manager, Karel Doubek, says it has been a long-time trend.
Some 10 or 12 years ago, our clients could smoke anywhere, but it is because of them that we gradually turned three-quarters of our restaurant into a non-smoking area. Our society has been gradually preparing for this change, and in the meantime, smoking bans were enforced elsewhere in Europe, so I think it is not going to be dramatic. Our place is so busy that even if we lose some clients, we won't really feel it.
Despite many pub owners actually admitting that their business is unlikely to be affected by the anti-smoking law, many still regard it as unnecessary, arguing that people should have the right to choose, such as a waiter employed in another Prague restaurant, Bernard.
I don't think we'll lose clients. The ban will take effect everywhere, giving them no other choice. But I still think it doesn't make sense. We already have a non-smoking area in our restaurant. I think it makes no sense, and I don't see the point of banning smoking completely. What's more, people will go outside, where they will make noise and a mess.
Cigarette butts and noise in the streets outside pubs and restaurants is a common side effect of anti-smoking bans, and authorities in the country's larger towns and cities will eventually have to come up with measures to tackle the problem.
My thanks to Ruth Frankova for that report. A reminder to our listeners that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. One of the greatest British novelists of the 20th century, Graham Greene, is the subject of a new comic book by a French scenarist and a US artist. Translated from the French, the title of the just-published book is Prague Coup, with some of the key episodes focused on Greene's short visit to Prague in February of 1948, when the communist overthrow of the fragile post-war government was underway. Chris Johnson has the story.
Graham Greene had a reputation for often being at the right place at the right time, the right place usually being some unsettled part of the world which normal travellers would normally avoid, and which would certainly be on a list of Foreign Office recommendations not to visit. Greene travelled to Sierra Leone before World War II, a trip which almost cost him his life. He was later in a turbulent Mexico in the 1930s, Indochina as the French were forced to leave and the Americans readied themselves to take over, Cuba, and the long list could go on and on. Vienna in the late 1940s, like Berlin, was divided between the main Allied powers and had a reputation for being a nest of spies. Greene turned up with just the basic idea for the film that a man sees a friend whom he thought was buried a few weeks earlier. Real events in Vienna and the black market sale of medicinal drugs allowed him to fill out the basic plot later. Ostensibly, Greene's Prague visit in February 1948 was to see his publisher, but Greene had a habit of turning up in troubled waters with an eye for material for a new film or book. He was clearly aware of speculation that the country was about to fall firmly into the Soviet bloc, with the majority Communist Party in government seizing power. But Greene's apparently well-developed antenna did not apparently appear to be working too well, and he was largely underwhelmed at the lack of action around him in Prague. There were, however, the basic problems and discomforts of being in a trouble spot. Greene was holed up in the Ambassador Hotel on Prague's Wenceslas Square, and he found getting food was a particular problem. In his autobiography, Ways of Escape, he recalled gate-crashing a servant's ball in the cellar of the hotel. He found he was not alone, with the thought that the staff would probably have some reserves tucked away. He found the Venezuelan ambassador dancing with a fat cook. The band played, beer flowed, and the revolution didn't seem so bad. Later, though, he noticed the dark humour with which the events were greeted by some, and the jokes about the communist leader Clement Gottwald's fat and not very elegant wife. French scenarist Jean-Luc Fromental has taken some liberty with the facts surrounding Green's Prague and Vienna visits at the start of 1948. In fact, while Green is the main character of the comic book, Fromental says that the fruit of the author's Vienna research, the plot for the iconic film The Third Man by Carol Reed, is also a main focus.
In effect, it is the trip that Graham Greene made to Vienna and then to Prague in 1948 to do research on what was to become the great post-war film noir, The Third Man. It was the period immediately after World War II when the Cold War was starting to take its final form. I allowed my imagination to work on some of the gaps in Green's itinerary that existed. It led me to reflect on Green's trip to Central Europe and the storyline that could be developed. There is also the mysterious aspect of the film The Third Man. Long before I began to work on this book, it appeared to me to be a film with various different levels and hidden meanings. So there is the combination of interesting facts, which in some cases are extremely detailed, as was the work of Green when he was researching his film in Vienna, and on the other hand, the gaps and holes in his itinerary, which combine to create a specific story.
The comic book author adds that he also wanted to emphasize the mysterious aspects of the author himself, a Catholic convert whose novels and portrayal of the Church got him into trouble with the Vatican, and Prague appeared to be the ideal backdrop for that as well.
It was a week that Green spent in Prague immediately after leaving Vienna. So the end of the spy story, which I imagined in Vienna, plays itself out in Prague. There was a fairly significant mystical aspect to Green as well. He converted when he was fairly young from the Church of England to Catholicism. And I don't think it was just for reasons of belief and the like, but also because I think it contributed to his career as a writer. I absolutely wanted to include that aspect, which is also present in a discreet way in the film The Third Man, into the story. Prague is the city of 1,000 spires, and that formed a sort of sublime capital of images that could be used. There were many reasons that I did not want the scenario to be based just in Vienna, which was logical in a way, as it was the place where he really did the film research, but to take advantage of this trip about which we know almost nothing. He wrote around 3 lines about it. His excuse that he was seeing his Catholic editor was very strange at a time when the city was in the midst of such upheaval. Prague, if you like, is like the scene in a Western where the final shootout takes place.
Indeed, in this comic book case, the key closing scenes take place at St. Nicholas' Church in Prague's Malostrana, the 17th century Baroque masterpiece, which is often described as the most expressive example of the architectural style in the Czech capital. This, according to Fromental, was ideal from the perspective of the US artist Miles Hyman and the comic book story plot as well.
With
its Baroque architecture and incredibly rich statues, this is not at all an austere church. And this was exactly what I needed for this culmination, which is a bit like a Western showdown and the final scene of an opera. It was perfect for me, and I did a lot of research about St. Nicholas. When you are a storyteller or scientist, you're looking for the sits that can magnify what is taking place. I gave this to Miles Hyman, who is a powerful artist, and I think that what he made of it and the result was quite remarkable, with a key scene taking place in the church at the conclusion of the book.
Perhaps Fromental's research also stumbled on a Cold War curiosity, that St. Nicholas's church tower was used by the Czechoslovak Secret Service to spy on the US, Yugoslav and West German embassies situated in the same Prague district. The plot of the comic book portrays Graham Greene as being involved in undercover espionage work in Vienna and Prague, as well as working on the script of the future film. In real life, Greene worked for the British Secret Service before resigning in 1944 from his official post. There is a disputed story that Greene may have in some ways helped protect his friend, Kim Philby, later revealed as the greatest Soviet spy to have betrayed his country. Greene stayed loyal to Philby even after that revelation and Philby's eventual defection to Moscow, coincidentally after a brief stopover in Prague.
Chris Johnson there, and I'm afraid that brings us to the end of our programme from Radio Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. If you'd like to contact us, please send a mail to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. And of course, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and take care.